but he took much interest in my design concept. And I recall that I conducted a MET or massage test with him.
Oh, I see.
And I think I should have had, I regret that I did not have a video of that test. And my Don, well, because I didn't have any data on abdominal surgeons, mm-hmm. and I don't know what question came up. Things started with a question, and you're trying to find an answer to the question. But I remember that, I recall, it started with the data. For first question, I asked him, what is the procedure that you most commonly perform? Mm-hmm. He said, appendectomy.
What?
Appendectomy. Removal of appendix. Appendix removal. Appendectomy. That's removing of the appendix.
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 Uh-huh.
That's an unused stomach.
Yes.
It used to be another second stomach for a human, but mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. it no longer needed.
No, needed.
So it's nothing but a trouble problem.
Uh-huh.
And he then, I asked him, did he have any, how long does it take to do it? He said, I'm seen as a fast surgeon at Harvard. My average, and he had took data on it. It was very interesting. He had data. He said, my average time for an appendix removal, I think it was 18 minutes, as I recall, he said.
18 minutes.
18.
18 minutes.
And that's from the first cut, from the time that you apply the first cut of tissue to the closure, to the final sewing. Well, he did have that data to start with. So I had a stopwatch when I took it, went into it. So I went to, we went to the hotel next door where there was a big lot of space, where there's nothing that could influence his movement. Mm-hmm. We had to be very careful that there's no influence on how a person from outside when you make an met. And we went into that hotel and I asked him, go ahead and do an appendectomy. And I had stopped. His image was very strong because he finished it very close to 18 minutes, I recall. But I stopped it. It was very close to what he said. But I made two notes. I had notes when he was doing. I was watching him, of course. And I regret that I didn't have a video on this. If we had a video, we would have evidence, but we have no evidence. I just have to believe my claim. And I noted that when he was almost standing, but slightly bent. So he did say, well, we sit on a high stool at Harvard. Because he was on the Harvard faculty, he had to use what they had. And then he had, so I noticed he had kind of bent knees. He didn't have a seat, but knees were always slightly bent. But the next thing I noticed that every time he shifted to his left, he pulled his elbow, crowded his elbow to his body. When he come out, the elbow was loose. So I made a note of that. And the second thing I noticed was that he occasionally would jerk, reaching, be impatient jerking. So I asked him, why did your elbow move when you were going to bed? He says, well, there's an ether curtain. And then he said, well, we don't use the ether curtain anymore. Why do they have it there? And that came to the question. That awareness came simply because he was not using his eye.
Mm-hmm.
If he had his eyes open, that awareness wouldn't have been so strong. And then the second thing, the jerks, he said he was grabbing the retractors that were held by nurses and putting them in place because they would slip. And then I said, how come you have a problem with that? Because I said, you did that more than once. He said, during that procedure time, you did it three or four times. And he said, well, they are retractors that are made of casting. They're made of casting, so they slip. And I had to grab them and put them back in the plate.
Mm-hmm.
The nurses were holding them. And he was doing this for years and years.
Oh.
And he was never aware of it.
Oh.
So massage tests make you aware of things you never were aware of. And it really upset him, too, when he found out. So he went back to Harvard and told the professor, why are we using earth curtain? Why we don't use them anymore? What are they there for? And also, he mentioned the cast reflect. Why are we using casting? Retractors that can grab like a fork much easier, and we can handle that. And the professor became angry. And the parents said, we've been doing this for years at Harvard and we're getting along very well. No one questions what you do at Harvard, you know. according to this professor, and Don resigned his position from that conflict that he had mm-hmm. with the professor. He decided that. But Don had gotten interested in engineering
mm-hmm.
because of the questions I had been working with, and he became resident surgeon of MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Talent. So he worked with them. He found MIT because engineers are always questioning and measuring, very nice to work with. So he became resident surgeon of MIT. Well, it changed his life, the mass dyes test. I mean, it meant he left his job at Harvard and got involved with engineering. Well, when he came back, I had moved to Atami. The thing that interested him there was the fact that in Atami, I had gates. They were Japanese-style gates, and we didn't have any doors. You walked down the traffic way. It wasn't exposed to outside, so we didn't have to worry about the wind or the fence. And anybody walking down the hallway could see the receptionist and see the people waiting in the treatment area. It was wide open. He liked that. And so he went, got connected with a person who was working with Massachusetts rules. Every medical clinic had to. You have to have privacy. And here we had no doors. It hadn't really caught him. He was an open type himself. And oh, he really liked that idea that doors were so open that people just walking down the hallway could see into the clinic. And then we did not have a door to a place where you consult with patients either. And it was also a tummy. So in other words, I didn't have any closure of anything unless there was absolute reason for it. This is the mastitis test to make you aware of these things. Mm-hmm. Things that you don't aware are not aware of as long as you can see, as long as we have open eyes. Mm-hmm. Because we're so much distracted by what we see that we can't be aware. So it changes our order of awareness, and it really comes to being aware of how our body relates to the space, and it determines how much space we have. Mm-hmm. Now, when we got into our chain, I think I remember a lot of tests that we had. I know I mentioned it before. But one of the first tests was how to determine the space of a reception area. Mm-hmm. Did I mention that before? I won't repeat it. You know about it, how we tested that. Number of steps. We counted steps. Digits, of course. And also determining what is the most natural way, and that's where you like the word natural, or way, direction to walk. From the entry to interface with the receptionist. Yes. You walk to interface with the receptionist, and that's where you stop. Yes. But I got data on the number of steps. And then, of course, then was how to relate to the remaining areas in the clinic, or how this relate to where you provide information and where you provide treatment. I think I mentioned that before to you. Well, we've gotten a lot of data on that, and it was collected in Japan by a group. And we had, so our Japanese group was collecting at the beginning a lot of this data. But then when the change spread to other countries, we had clinics in mostly going to Europe and Australia and New Zealand, these spreads came from generally from wholesalers who were dealing with what I had invented, designed, people would call invention, but they were the wholesaler actually. But these constants that come up with, it comes up with the constants for a chain, and whether is this chain, if it's going to be global, it can be seen as a global chain.